appeal to the members that because we have changed our venue, can you give us a privilege that we work we have to do requires all our attention, and therefore we can start. If all is well, can I ask?
I have approaches from the members of the committee. One is from Honorable Fana Merve. Honorable Wilson has also indicated that she won't be with us today due to the prior arrangements. So far, that's apologies, Chairperson.
Did you say anything about the minister? Is with the other business that are here in Cape Town. I no doubt want to thank members that have made it to be here today, because last meeting within the schedule. So when we consulted with the department and SASA, we requested if they can work all night long and finish everything so that today they can present, and then on if we can't adopt, Wednesday will be there to adopt, submit, and give enough time for our work to be do the work is what all of us are committed to do. I want to express that. So can I therefore say the meeting is opened and allow the SD to do their work? That is fine. I don't think you need a background, because we all know when we last met what was supposed to happen. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, good morning. We are here to present the APP as well as the financial I thank you. Chairperson, may I hand over to the CEO? Thank you.
He is on the floor. Thank you, madam.
I can look into our APP, which we had tabled some time ago. the expiry of the contract between SASSA and service provider CPS, who are responsible for the payment of social grants. Implement a phase-in, phase-out plan. This information will form part and parcel of work to be reported to Constitutional Court on a 3 months basis, with the report due, the first report due on the 16th of June 2017. April 2017, SASSA and DSD was deployed to pay points for visibility and dealing with inquiries in cases some beneficiaries had challenges. We can confidently say that the payment of more than 17 million social they identified disputed deductions for beneficiaries to ensure processing of refunds where possible. Automation of social grant registries, review of grants business processes in our operational plan, which we have put it on our operational plan. Stakeholders such as Department of Home Affairs, DBE, Department of Basic Education, and Department of Social Development. Over and above the modernization of service delivery, these projects will also provide a single view of grants beneficiary information and the biometric authentication of SASSA employees and beneficiaries. It should be noted that the development of particularly the system to the system users. The automation of grants administration system is for the 2017-2018 financial year. We have prioritized the upgrading of our network or connectivity infrastructure for been neglected, and we'll continue to meet our targets and continue to do what we do on a daily basis. During this year, the number of social grants in payments, including the grant in aid, is expected to increase from 17.1 million to 17.5 million. SASSA will continue to provide immediate relief to individuals and households who are engulfed by crisis situation, including disasters. A total of 500,000 SRD applications will be awarded this year. These awards are issued in different forms, namely cash, school uniforms, food parcels, and the vouchers. A total amount of 600 million has been set aside for the implementation of the SRD, Social Relief of Distress. We are targeting to register 560 development and development of justice, we have planned to process about 232,000 foster child grant reviews to allow children who are still at school to remain in the register and will continue to the implementation of integrated community registration outreach program, which is ICROP, in 600 identified poor wards and 40 project Mekozo intervention across the nine regions. Linked to the ICROP is a beneficiary education program aimed at creating awareness on the areas, including the deductions, social assistance qualifying criteria, and dealing with the green card sketch. As committed in our MTSF document 2014-2019 strategic plan, we continue to formulate strategies aimed at assisting to reduce the social assistance debt book. In 2017-2018 financial year, at least 569 million with the 2017 baseline. This situation has compelled us to implement stringent policies, including scaling down of filling some of the position and reprioritization of the projects and activities. Members should note that with the Concord, we had to look into trying and escalate certain things that the Concord has requested us to look into during these 12 months. Fortunately, when we're on my overview as Chief Executive Officer, I said the current social grants payment contract comes to an end at 31st March 2020. Assistance continue to receive the social grants on a monthly basis is to ensure the payments continue. It is service providers or provider who will be implementing different aspects of payment value chain. In addition, SASSA will continue to work towards taking over the responsibility of payment function. Transitional measures will be put in place to deal with the current payment challenges that SASSA is facing. So I'm reading this part, Chairperson, so that I highlight the service, current service provider. So we did put it on our APP that we tabled earlier on. It is something that we had already looked into and seen that we were going to do, but the scale that we were going to do it is the post.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members, and thank you, colleagues. The presentation reflects on the targets per program. In SASSA, we do have two programs. Program one is administration, and program two is benefits administration. Court order, and thereafter, the CFO will focus on the financial plan and the recommendation. The purpose of the presentation is to brief the Portfolio Committee on Social Development on the SASA's 2017 Annual Performance Plan and Budget, and also highlight the prioritized activities in order to implement the Constitutional Court order. Just to reflect of who we are, SASA is a Schedule 3A public entity that was established in 2006 in effective management, administration, and payment of social assistance, and will eventually serve as an institution to manage the broader social security benefits. Currently, the social assistance program and the operations of SASA are fully funded by government. The vision of SASA is to be the leader in the delivery of social security services. Our mission and our slogan remains paying the right social grant to the right person at the right time and place. John. In terms of 13, which is an inclusive and responsive social protection system. And the sub-outcome that our work relates to is a sub-outcome number 4, which is deepening social assistance and extending the scope for social security. Our strategic outcome as SASA is to expand the access of social assistance and creating a platform for future payment of social security benefits. Our goal statement is to render social assistance to eligible beneficiaries. The priorities for SASA during the MPSF are as follows: reducing the income poverty by providing social assistance to eligible individuals, we'll also prioritize the automation of business system and institutionalization of the social grant payment system within SASA. Second one is corporate services. The third one is information and communication technology, and we have financial management.
Just a minute. I think what the CEO read was not in our notes. So I've made arrangements that it will be made available to all of us now. Is it so, CEO?
Some things that I said of the CAP that are not written, but I'll give you these ones. But in the record, I think they are available.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, sure. Okay.
So remember, can you switch off? So members are actually having what we are going through now.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
With the application to approval of processes. The second sub-program deals with the payment administration. In terms of our strategic objectives for 2017-2018, the first one is to improve the effectiveness and efficiency of the administration of social assistance program, to promote customer-centric services, to provide human capital financial management, and to uphold good governance. I will now go to the targets per First one, I'll deal with the internal audit. In terms of the internal audit, what we are planning is to have 30 internal audit reviews that will be conducted focusing on high-risk areas. And priorities among these high-risk areas, it includes also the monitoring of as the risk area through this risk management strategy and through the fraud prevention and the fraud management activities and other operational served an awareness program for 72 of them, and we'll focus on SASSA staff in all the regions, but we'll also be engaging with the we involved, because you'll find that some of the doctors are also involved without some being aware, but some may not be aware that they are drawn into these kind of things. But some of our beneficiaries, girls, also be drawn into these fraud activities. We'll also conduct the investigation, the fraud, theft and corruption investigations. We are planning to work on 70% of the end of this financial year, we should have cleared the backlog so that we can deal with new cases and not keep on going on the backlog. But with fraud cases, institutions such as the police and whatever, then it's out of the system. So sometimes we do not have control of how they get to be finalized. But within our registers, we'll make sure that we eliminate the backlog. On the risk management, we'll update our risk register and ensure that it's updated and maintained, and we'll also deal with the operational risk and ensure that capital management, we're planning to revise our human resource plan, and the reason being we have amended the grant value chain in order to try and incorporate some of the elements of the payment and some of the elements of fraud management, such as introduction of biometrics. Therefore, we have to ensure that our HR plan is realigned to cater for these activities. This will also be supported by the capacity model, because as you put a plan, you have to have a model around how you're going to capacitate this plan. So this will also do in this financial year. What we'll also ensure is that despite the fact that we have lost some of the compensation of employees' funds, we're planning to ensure that all the funded posts, 95% of the funded posts, are filled. With regards to Opo, Northern Cape, and Mpumalanga. And over the MTSF, we want to ensure that this is expanded in all the regions across the state, because right now we are a paper-based organization. In terms of ICT operations, we have we are also committed, as indicated earlier, that we'll have a network connectivity infrastructure, because as you plan to move into the new network connectivity is up to standard, so we have started with the baseline work to work towards that. Also linked to the payment process, we also are enhancing the governance and risk compliance solution, which will be procured. This is will serve as a baseline for us moving As I've indicated, the long-term plan of SASA is that over time we want to get rid of. Started with a scanning solution. With the scanning solution, what we are going through is all the old records, which some of them are more than 50 years old. We are scanning all of the records for beneficiaries because they are implemented. We cannot distract them. They are required during the audit processes. So we are scanning all the records in the records management centers across the country. But also we are introducing the scanning solution within the We'll also be implementing the enterprise business intelligence solution, which will be implemented in the branches finance, corporate services, ICT, strategy, and business development. So far, we have and then we are planning to have 5% of the social assistance debts recovered and written off. We'll focus on collections, that are destitute of for prescribed debts. Moving into Program 2, our targets for the objective for Program 2 is to provide social assistance to qualifying and eligible beneficiaries. Our plan is to reach 1.5 million new applicants in the current financial year. We're also planning on ensuring that 95% of these new applications should be processed. We accommodate for those like disabilities or for those where you don't have the connectivity is not sufficient or strong enough. All programs, we should be able to process our application within one day without compromising the fraud or the verification or authentication of information. We are also planning to increase the number of grants that are in payment from 17.1 million to 17 applications, and this will be awarded to families under distress. Currently, we have a budget of 600 million. Generally, towards the end of the year, if there's savings on other grants, we're able to get additional money. And if that happens, we are able to extend our SRD processes, particularly to focus on disaster areas where there's wild fires and other natural disasters. In terms of reviews, our intention is to do a reduction of inclusion and exclusion errors. Here we have 2,000 foster care reviews by the end of the financial year. In terms of improvement of service delivery, we plan to raise awareness of beneficiaries in their grants and the obligations relating to the social assistance, and we'll be implementing the where there's low take-up of grants. We'll also together with the ICROP, implement the Migonzo interventions, and the, we are been talking to 600 beneficiary education awareness programs and 1,000 public awareness programs that will be conducted. On the still on the improvement of service delivery, ensuring that there's customer-centric monitored, ensure that by the time the service provider goes there, we have SASA officials who are there to monitor the activities and manage the activities. We also want to work on reducing the cost as a percentage to the social assistance transfer to ensure that it remains within the region of 5.1%. Here I'm going to focus on the prioritization of the implementation of the Constitutional Court. A lot of these targets were already catered for within the operational plan of SASA. There may be one or two that we did not anticipate, such as the submission of the Constitutional Court report. But issues such as the insourcing of the Regulation 26A. Currently, the arrangement that we had was that the deductions in terms of Regulation 26A were done by the service provider. And in that environment, SASA did not have a control. What we relied on was the report as we receive from the service provider. So what we will be working on is that by end of this December, we should be implementing this element of the insourcing. Therefore, the Regulation 26A will be controlled and managed by SASA, and by doing that, we'll ensure that we control that no deductions that are outside the Regulation 26A do not happen. So we'll not be transferring it to any service provider. And this will prepare us also as we take over into the future so that we never have to compromise beneficiary data directly or indirectly. And then we're also working on setting up SASA holding account. I need to indicate that SASA has always had a bank account within the PMG environment in the Reserve Bank. But it has since been dormant because we've been transferring money through directly to the service provider's account. So we want to resuscitate our account, and depending on who's the service provider that we partner account of SASA, so that we can have direct access and monitoring and audit of the interest that goes into that account. This is an activity that we had also planned for, and it's not necessarily a new function. We're also working on appointment of a new service provider or a solution integrator. This is a service that we were going to appoint within a period of 2 years, as anticipated. So we just had to bring the processes closer so that we can ensure that we comply with the Constitutional Court judgment. Our plan is that we need to give the new service incoming service provider sufficient time to do setup. So we are working hard to ensure that by December, the service provider has been appointed and they've started with the setup. Our target is that by December there should be a service provider, but we are working hard towards October as a period. The submission of because it came with the court judgment. We did not anticipate that happening. But compilation of report is our jolly responsibility. We compile reports, whether it's to Parliament, whether it's to Minister, or whether it's to Treasury. So this submission, the report compiling is not and in addition, there'll be independent monitors, which we may be expected to pay as SASA. So the first thing that we had to do was to ask ourselves, is it something that is going to affect our budget, or is it something that we can cater for? But I think the CFO in his presentation will clarify where the funding for this reporting will come from and what is the estimated cost that we are anticipating. In terms of another area that we're working on is the issue of ensuring that we use the mass of social grants to stimulate growth in the areas where we do grants. So the local economic development remains our priority. If members remember, we've been talking about linking grants beneficiaries to economic opportunities, but also to further say that where in the areas where you go, when you see a pay bond, you'll see it already there's business in that area. So how do you stimulate that business so that it stays, the money stays in those communities? So as part and parcel of strategy. It's up to you. You can never go on any new initiative or any change yet appointed people that will be facilitating that, will be doing that as management, but will be maybe getting expertise to support this project.
Some advice from the members. Are we going to entertain this one and ask questions, or should we allow the CFO to give us?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to Honorable Members. In terms of the SASA pay line, SASA was supposed to have 58 million and 209 million, which the CEO has already spoken. Year on year growth. From the year 2016-17 to the year 2017-18, it's a 4% growth. Line is reduced by 569 million rand, and I think it's made up actually of 267 million. That was for the year 2017-18, 146 million for the year 2018. We're done through a process of the MTEC process. And therefore, the reductions themselves have resulted in the spending pressures for the agency, given that the agency needs to deal with this. Reduction. If we were to look in terms of the two the composition of employees sit at 1 billion rand and goods and services at 1.8 billion rand and the transfer at the 12 million rand and the total amount that has been allocated to fund the operations of the administration is 2.9 billion rand. We will, for the program two, which is the benefit administration support, to pay the employees within that branch, we have allocated the amount of 2.1 billion and for goods and services at 2.5 billion, and for the transfers subsidies at 16 million. And that branch will operate with an amount of 4.7 billion. When you add the 2.9 billion and the 4.7 billion, that's the total budget that is. $3.2 billion of the $7.7 billion will go to the composition of employees. That's where the money is going. And the $4.4 billion will go to goods and services. But we have allocated $204 million. For the payment contractor, currently we are having these services done by CPS, and that's the amount that we've allocated to be able to deal with the transaction fees for the payment of grants. And then we have the lease payments that we've allocated $376 million. These deal with the offices, the pay points, the service points, the repairs and maintenance. This includes the cars, but also the office building or infrastructure. And then we have the property payments that we have allocated $431 million. Here we're talking about the cleaning, the municipal services and security. $28 million. The total expenses obviously go back to $7.7 billion in terms of that allocation. It does have a direct impact in terms of some of the pressures that we encountered. And this has led to the prioritization of projects and activities. So it means that we had to prioritize more of essential things. That we need to really spend the budget on. But also, this has resulted in us scaling down the employees just to make good of the $209 million that is there. And that meant that we have to lose some of the posts yet. When the EM for strategy was presenting, spoke in terms of what and the one particular matter is around the insourcing of the 26A, that is the deductions, and we're saying we can look and we're saying that the 500,000 can be paid, and this will be funded within the grants administration budget.
and we saying that the setting up of a holding account, because this was a commitment that we've R1 million will be able to be used in that regard. But we also know that currently we have just under 1.6 million beneficiaries that have their own personal accounts in terms of getting their grants. And for us to be able to take and we know that there's a phase-in of the new payment provider. We do know that currently the CPS contract will have to be phased out. We have to phase in the new arrangement. And we know that the cost implications of that would then we have an issue relating to the submission of the Constitutional Court quarterly report. Maybe I can just open that actually. I've seen the nominated names, and the court has asked the following questions to the parties. But also it has raised the question of that how these people will be paid, how much will be the payment, and who should bond the expense in relation to that. And the court gave about 10 days for the parties to revert back to the court in this regard. It's a matter that we have never had any discussion actually with the CEO, but it's something that we'll have to process just after we're back into our offices. I'm saying this thing because what we have already figured into is in terms of what we're projecting should be the cost in relation to the service of the reports. But once we got the final number, we'll be able to know. And once we have worked on all the negotiated parties in terms of what will be SASA's responsibility in terms of that, we'll be able to know the final figure. So what I'm going to give now to the committee we're saying that 624,000 should be more than enough to be able to cater that using the rates that are payable, because the rates are available in terms of the senior counsels and the junior counsels, so we do know those rates, and we have looked at about probably 3 days that to, for them to review a report, maybe they will need that kind of many days in that regard. And in terms of the technical aspect, we're also saying that when we look at what are payable rates for the consultants, I think that becomes the guiding, and we're saying that 672,000 rand should be more than enough to deal with the technical independent monitors. And the senior counselors, senior counselors responsible for submitting this report on behalf of the parties involved, like SASA, we may have our own senior counselors, and 840,000 will be able to cover that. And this money will be available within the retained surplus. We're going to prioritize it from the retained surplus, which is the cash in the bank, to deal with that. the phase out of the complete contract, which is currently we're paying just under 11 million. So probably we might have at the end of the year maybe about 12 million in terms of the number of beneficiaries that would be in payment. And we think that the 1644 that is payable now as transitional cost will be more than enough for us to be able to deal with that. And this activity, which is the phase in and phase out, is what the CEO has already indicated that they will deal with. The important part that the members need to understand is that there will be two processes that will be embarking on in relation to SASSA. And one process, it will be to look at, once we've done the whole plan now, which is the finalization of the report, not preempt, and that we need to deal with through a process that called unforeseen process, which is by September, we another process that we'll be embarking on is the process that, because of the court determination, we have to adjust the business case in terms of the insourcing of SASSA. And that revised document will be completed by the end of July and will have been presented to National Treasury as part of the budget process. That will be dealing with the outer years as a process to say that how will the project be in terms of the firm dates. But that will be the period in which SASSA will abide by, and working very hard around the clock just to make sure that we meet such. I could ask the EM to Mera Pasha just to conclude.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of our recommendations, we are recommending that the Portfolio Committee note and approve such
members. I also want to note that while the team worked so hard, had a serious problem. But despite that, I think the quality of what we have got
terms is called Murphy's Law. When you sometimes under pressure, then all these things happen. It happens with all of us, so we appreciate the professionalism that has been portrayed this morning. My question relates to the CFO has mentioned payments of grants, CPS 2.258 billion, but on the presentation it shows contractors. Now I just want the clarity on that. Is it one CPS or are there a few more that we don't know about? Thank you. Then for connectivity, how frequently, I don't understand, because if it's that little megabyte, then how much can they do when they use and phase in, what if Murphy's Law comes in there? What contingent plan do you have? But it's a very, very critical part of what you need to do, because if the person, the people that scan, scan incorrectly, so what plans do you also have to make sure that it is correctly scanned? If census is just done for scanning purposes and it's not done correctly, then you won't have the archives of going through it at a later stage. Phase in, phase out, Grindrod, the green cards. We don't hear about that. How will they be phased out completely? We wouldn't like our communities to see them again with the green.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much to SASSA for the presentation and the hard work that they've done. The appointment of new service provider or solution integrator. Because of the constitutional court judgment, you have to fast track it within these 8 months remaining, to December. I want to check because what I was going to ask also the contingency plan, because now you are pushed from 2 years to go before, and how are you going to scale down now from that 2 years to that short space of time? I saw this on slide number 2. But this one, where are you going to get it? Have you identified some of the project and reprioritized so that you on the fraud prevention, you indicated 70% of new cases investigated, 100% backlog cases investigated. One would like to check, if you are saying 100%, where are you basing it? Because there is no percentage without an actual number. Mm-hmm. For us as members of parliament, it will assist us to know exactly following up to say that you have got so, because 1/1 is 100%, and 200/200 it's 100%. So it is important for us as members of parliament to know exactly the number that makes you to say 100% on all that one. There is also the issue of 5%, it's slide number 17. Also, it's the same thing of 100% and so on. If you can just clarify that one. But on the 5% of social assistance that recovered and or written off, I want to check what makes say that now you'll go for 5%, or it's just you think that 5% will do, because I think it also around the issue of the, you indicated, I think it's the CFO on slide number 30 when you were there, you talk about 23 people submitted that now will delay the process. It's like it was, you'll pardon me, I'm just new in the committee. That 23 people you said now you have to go and negotiate, it's like it was submitted by different stakeholders in this. Maybe if you can indicate which are those stakeholders that submitted those names, because I think it will delay this, it will delay a process since we are having a short space of time to deal with all these things. Thank you very much, but thanks for the fast-tracking this. We never knew that you'll bring it this week. And thanks to our chairperson also for corporations who make things to work very easier. Thank you.
Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to thank SASSA and the department for the presentation and for having been able to come back this soon to the committee. My questions, as always, are simply for clarity purposes and just to make sure that I understand the presentation as it is intended to be understood. The first question is on page 7, where it talks about the provision of human capital management facilities and auxiliary services. The question that I wrote here was that, was this always the case in preparation for one is the case, because the CEO said in the beginning we need to understand that there was always work done to prepare. Page 8 of the presentation to say the phasing in, phasing out. Where is the concentration of the new skills, or is it does it straddle what experience does the staff have at the moment that they would have learned from the service provider that was doing the grant payment system, or do we have to, yeah, I just want to phasing out process. And then on the bottom slide, the way we're talking about the automation of and then the last bullet point on that same slide, which is the bottom one on improved organizational efficiency, the presentation by Ms. Rapache said that it has been done. The presentation said that when there is money saved from other programs, this I wrote was, has the SRD program been strained before so that it will need, you anticipate needing money that will be redirected from the other programs? And of course, just to know that. Chair, I'll stop there because the last question, yeah, I'll stop there, Chair. Thanks.
Honorable Mabilo and Honorable Hope.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. I also want to express my sincere appreciation and profound thanks for the work done by for us to be able to be appraised. Chair, I just want to follow up on some of the other questions. One is around slide 13 on the new case. Whether there is a pattern or a trend, so that when we do our oversight, we are able to respond appropriately. Send eligible suppliers to be paid within 30 days. I know this is government policy, but despite this being the case, issue. Now I just want to check with SASA, you will be able to stick to the 30 days. In fact, in terms of best practice, Gauteng Premier has pronounced that they are able to pay within 15 days. And I know my province, Northern Cape, Economic Development, they're also in a position to pay 15 days. So this is where practical, they can do less than 15 days. Okay, Chair. Okay, in terms of the savings on grants, as the EMS has mentioned it, I'm a little bit perplexed. Beneficiaries falling through the cracks, or what is it? I don't want to imagine, but what is it? What constitutes that? And then in terms of the LED and money that stays in the township, I think it's a good point, but it should be broadly enhanced through cooperation. I think it will take forward the process of township economy, which some provinces are toying around with. But the attendant problem that we have Machonis are already there. They collect the money, they pay. So the beneficiary is trapped in a cycle of debt. So there's a need for an innovative way. I know this will be a multi-disciplinary solution required in this regard. Okay. And then in terms of your own revenue, you're alluding to 4.4. Where does it emanate from? I know where does it emanate from. And then what I don't get clearly, I know it's an HR question. What is your ratio in terms of personnel versus personnel? In terms of there's a question of filling of critical vacancies being reduced as a result of the cut in the budget. What is the impact? What is the implication for accelerated service delivery? Lastly, Chair, I think this is a comment. There's no doubt in my mind that there should be a better lesson and a better experience for us. I know it's like closing the stable door after the horse has bolted. But I think it should not be in our interest that we should be compelled in terms of courts for us to do our work. I'm relating this to the timelines that you are given, quarterly reports, that you should stick to the quarterly reports, because as clearly indicated by the CEO, it's quite is that as a social development portfolio committee, it demands of us to play more a robust and assertive oversight role. Thank you very much, but we appreciate the progress. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. Go to page 15. Then they say SASSA also have to scale down on the filling of critical posts. So I think it's going to be important for the department to speak to us on it, that we know exactly, because it's been picked up by everyone. Commercial accounts not required during the 2017-2018 financial year. The MTEF. And then when it comes to, I think, gave the judgment. They said the independent monitors' names had to be given in within 14 days, and you told us you did it. But now you're coming back again to us to say there are 23 names at 10 days. Then when it comes to I got something here, let me just think quickly. Wait, it will come now back to me. I would like to know, because we don't see it with looking at that too, you know, because the money lies in NetOne's account and CPS account for, you know, it was said within another meeting for 8 days, and they said money's transferred after 3 days. So there is interest accumulation. Then the question that was asked by Honourable Abrams, the phasing in of the green card, of the SASSA card. The minister pronounced in March month that every beneficiary should. So I would like the department to give us a timeline so that we can also speak to it within our constituencies itself. So I'm just going to stop there, Mama. I won't ask more. And I would like to thank the chairperson for fast-tracking, you know, this report that you gave. Although my computer crashed also this morning, I couldn't get it off. So I don't know from which side it's coming. Because we're looking for into my parliamentary one, and it couldn't open. But you could see it's there with an attachment. Thank you.
DSG is the driving force
in ensuring that they facilitate, they make it a point.
Thank you so much, Chair. I thought the Chair was going to give us the bit-by-bit questions to answer. Now there's a long list that we need to look into. We'll try and share them amongst ourselves. I'll request to deal with some of the questions. But the one that I want to start with, because I think it the committee that we did meet our deadlines of 14 days to nominate. Given not only to us, it was given to everybody that was a stakeholder in the case, like Black was going to play part on the issues, and we know for a fact that Black Sash did nominate some people. We wouldn't know the other numbers, where they come from, because were not given via us to the court. All of us had to send them to court. So when we inquired, like we said last time that we were here, when we inquired with the court as to how far are they with appointment of those monitors, we were told that they are busy with it. Now, as the CFO has just said, I had not seen and I've not heard yesterday of the 23. I've just heard with all of us here now from and the presentation. But on our side, we are clear that come the 17th of June, with the other stakeholders, which I think the onus will be on SASSA now to coordinate, because we are the people that are going to be monitored. So we are going to be sitting down after this and check how are we going to do it, and court has just given us over and above the other things that we need to do in order to meet the deadline of the 17th. But come to the 17th of committee is going to have the first bite. The minister, the portfolio committee will have the first bite before we send it over to the monitors. Now, it may not be in the form of us coming to present, but we'll send the report. If time is against us, we'll be sending the report over to the secretariat so that it can be shared with the members. Promised each other that we're going to do that with the project lead and everything.
Maybe can I ask Mrs. Nelly to take us on the foster care? I'll start with the easier ones, then get rid of the easier ones, then so that you get on the tougher ones a little bit. The foster care and the number of 232, where do we get it from?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the question regarding the 232,000 foster care reviews, I think the question was where do we get the number? With regard to the foster care, there is a close collaboration. Cases are attended first by the department through their social workers, and then they go to court, then they go to SASA. So we do have records in terms of the court orders to say these are due for reviews. So this is a well-calculated target that we are aware of that needs to be managed by SASA.
Rapahle to take us through on the skill set and concentration of the staffing that we have and the capacitating SASA on the issue.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. Just to indicate, SASA, we have not done a formal skills.
Of the 10,000 staff members that we have are located at the point of collecting the application and processing of applications. And come during the payment days, we do take staff from the local offices whose job is to do the applications and processing of applications. We rotate skills. There are those that live there to go and monitor the pay points as well. So in as much as their skill and this observation that they do, they still already have the work that they do in the offices. But because that, so there have been issues around inquiry. When we started during the olden days of MPLUNI All Pay and CPS, the inquiries were done through the service providers. And over years, we realized that this is disempowering us, because when people is the operational things that relate to SASA. So we started to do those inquiries. So gradually, we started to pull back and get the skill base. But because we don't have sufficient numbers, that's why our highest concentration is on big pay points, not necessarily all the pay points. The other area that we have to focus on in terms of reskilling, as you score, we're starting with the scanning solution. It means over time we'll be moving into the automations of the registries. So already we have started with the staff in the registries to start to reskill them, because some of them were at level 2. So those that are at level 2, we are encouraging them to go and do matric so that they can... about it, but we're looking at this to say over time we need to capacitate our people to be the ones who are doing the scanning. But currently the main scanning, we have a service provider who is doing that. But because we want to do it as part of the application process, the same staff that we work with in the local offices should be capacitated in the long term to do that. I don't know if I've covered the question sufficiently.
There is the one that
The human capital is something that has always been there, because every time we change, we have to adjust. judgment.
Can I request the CIO to take, I think there are two questions on the ICT, the back scanning.
With regard to back scanning, I think Rapasi has answered it well. Currently, a service provider was appointed over a period of 3 years to roll. Service provider implementing the solution and our own people, the one that she was talking about, that they are being upskilled. So in the when the internet line, we do the upgrade based on the usage and the business requirements. Are going to be upgrading it to 4 megabytes, and it's not terabytes, it is 4 megabytes, and all then in terms of head office we are going to upgrade it to 8 megabytes, and this is solely based on business requirements. The Ethernet pipe is able to transmit those particular business requirements within that pipeline. Thank you.
With all the questions
there is a question that I think she raised on the issue of the SRT was the reason why we were talking about the way we strained before. I wish Diane was here, because I know for a fact that we the last year. And I would request the CFO, when it tackles the financial questions, and dwell onto that one too. CFO. Thank you.
The largely comes from the disasters. I think for a number of times, I think we had to come here in the Western Cape to deal with the issues of the disasters. So most of the disasters that are currently happening in the Western Cape have been catered by SASA. Malnutrition, then you may use that program to deal with it. So we've had those pressures in that regard. Where does the savings comes from, where you have to deal with the big money? The area that normally will find that there's a saving will be more around your disability grant through the gatekeeping, because we have to really keep on improving the assessment of a disability grant. But also, you also have an issue where you have to really deal with the fraud management on the other side. So as and when you're investigating, you'll have to really stop it. But there's also an issue of natural attrition, which happens that you have to really stop the payments of grants where the people are not. Contractors, whether it's a contractor or contractors. I think this is more of your accounting part, which is the line item. Previously, you remember that SASA was not only having one service provider. It had different service providers, MBLUA, CPS, and whatever. So that same item was utilized actually to make good of those commitments. even in the future, if ever then we have to have more than one, we're not going to change the item. The item will remain the same to deal with that. Where do we get money in terms of the submission of the report? Part of what we said, I said when I did the presentation, was we had to undergo a reprioritization of what work can be done where, and we used more of the cash in the bank, which I said the cash retail surplus of the 500 million. So we have reprioritized our to do for the 2017-18. There was a question whether the transactional cost relating to the 1.6 million beneficiaries who have their own accounts, whether they are budgeted for in the outer year 2017-18. We need to understand that within the 2.3 billion rand that currently being paid to CPS, this amount is catered in that. So if you're no longer having CPS going outside, then so that is covered in that way. There was a question relating to the social assistance debtors, and to say, do we have a policy? Yes, we have a policy, but the social assistance debtors is not a SASSA policy, it's a DSD policy. So we're doing the debt management on behalf of the department. So the policy is developed by the department and approved by the department and implemented by SASSA in consultation with SASSA. However, the write-off, which is the approval of the write-off, it does not rest with the department, it rests with National Treasury. So it is a process that we have been dealing with in the previous years, which we have not been very successful, and that informed the 5%. We do get the approval from National Treasury, which is another process that we'll have to consider, which is outside, completely outside the agency sense. So even if you have identified the cases that need to be write off, the written off, then we present that for consideration and you may get an approval or not an approval. But once we have dealt with that, authority. Yeah, the issue of the 100% suppliers paid within 30 days, it's work in progress. That's why we're focusing actually on 100%. And once you have managed to get 100%, we're sitting about 96% now across the agency, in the 9 regions, including head office. But with the number of processes that need to be dealt with, we felt that once we have gone past the 100% of the 30 days, then you can now say, let's look at the efficiency. There are payments that get to be paid within 15 days and 20, but it is not the total portfolio. So what we need to do is that 100% of everything that's received within SASSA is paid within 30 days. Once you add that now you look at the efficiencies in terms of saying that, can I reduce the 30% to say within 20%, 100% of the suppliers being paid within 20 days or within 15 days. And those are the issues that will be considered in the outer year. Despite the fact that we have to do the reprioritization, we're still left with funded posts, vacant funded posts. So still have 95% of those funded, reprioritized, funded vacant posts. So that number is the one that we're going to do. How we're going to assess it, now we conclude a list of the positions that are vacant funded at the end of March, and then also the list that of the positions that will become vacant during the course of the year. And that becomes the way that you're going to assess it, because you can be able to draw the report and be able to get the report that will be signed off by the CEO. And that's what we're going to use as a baseline to assess whether you have 95% or you do not make 99. We do receive the interest. Every month, once the payments have been made, we do receive the interest. For the 16-17, it's just over 10 million that we have received as interest. What has been the bone of contention was to really get to know to the reconciliation into the last cent in the books of the service provider. I think that's the issue that we have been in argument with. Not necessarily the payment of money. I think the whole issue is that to go back to say that, because when they're making payment, how much did they draw and how much they paid back, whatever they have not drawn, because once they've taken it out from the bank, it's no longer accruing interest.
Yeah.
So you need to security risk issue. So you need to take cognizance of the cash heist that happens, because as and when they give you how they do that, then you must be able to safeguard that process in relation to that. So we do receive the money in terms of the of that. Where do we use the surplus funding? I think most of the projects that came for 2017-18, dealing with things, because at least you can be able to get work done while you are engaging the relevant funding modalities. I'm not sure if I may have, where does the revenue come from? The bulk of the revenue from SASA, it will come actually from your asset disposal, because then we do asset disposals that come. That will be the bulk of that. But also you find that sometimes you get the rebate for the skills that we do, which is the rebate that we're getting in relation to that. That own revenue from. Now, previously we used to get money for the tenders, but primarily because now it has changed, because there's an
Okay, thank you so much, CFO. The expiry of the cards that in terms of the rules, because I think the question came that said that there are people that are around the they moved it onto the site, but the path towards the pay point passes them. So when they move there, it passes them again. So you'll find the car or the truck is standing somewhere a little bit far away, so people go past on that issue. Now we've been this thing and the regulation that the ministers and DSD have tried to put in order to cap that has been nullified in terms of the judge. But we, as DSD and SASA, as we are speaking now, there is a meeting that is taking place with stakeholders outside. Brenton is there, and I think both they are there in looking on the issue of starting the process of appealing the case. So we're going point by point on what the judge has said as the thing that we do not have the right over. We think that the judge has erred in his judgment, especially that the Concord, in one of the orders that they put, they say data that is in everybody gets through the payment of grants.
Mm.
That data belongs to the state, and that data needs to remain on the state. So that court judgment and the court order, they are in conflict. We thought the that there's no appeal court for Concord. So based on that, we are going to take that plus the things that we have as SASA and remember, the green card is operating parallel to our system. So we are told that the green card is an easy pay card and is a so there's something wrong that is going on with the card. So we are going to carry on in fighting the issues of the deductions. Can I request then, because it's just one that she's supposed to be dealing with.
Exactly.
It will be the issue of the expiry.
Exactly.
After that, then this is all done.
Can
you, yeah.
Okay, thanks very much. I think when it comes to issues of fraud, I want to thank the member. I think when we come to do our reports, whenever we use percentages, we'll put figures in brackets. But if I have to give a scenario, like for example, on average we receive a list or issues where people call, you have to sift at them and check which ones are fraud, which ones are just inquiry. And deal with those that are fraud, those that are inquiry, you deal with them on the system. But the typical example would be somebody saying, I think so-and-so is receiving the have a exaggerated fraud management system. So on average, you have those kind of cases that you deal with them as issues, and after them being issues, following investigation, once you are sure that this is fraud matter, then you put it on a basis. We should be able to provide figures so that and I agree, as in future when we put percentages, we'll put the numbers in brackets. Then I should come to the issue of the payment card. The payment card that dedicated to SASA, because currently if you look at the Green Road, although they had the BIN numbers that were dedicated to SASA, they used the we need to comply with the banking laws in terms of what are the things you can put in the card and what are the things that we cannot put into the card. So the SASA card of the future will come and present it to the committee when on the workshop that I did indicate that we'll talk about it.
To the issue of the expiry of the card. We have looked into a number of cards and even looked into the current ID card. If we have to opt for that, which then it will mean the SASA card will not have an expiry date, we have to spend about 100 to 150 per card. So looking at the cost, it is doable. We bank card. Your ordinary bank card, why it expires? It's because the material that is used also wears out with time. So hence it is 3 years to 5 years. And also, you know, your ordinary ID card now, the one, the smart card that you have, even if you can sit on it, like your the gentleman that will sit, put it in the back pocket and sit, it won't how do I put it? It won't just, yeah, it won't bend. But into the cost for now, we have looked into it. We can come just before it's finalized. We will come to the committee to even the green card. Technically, members and chairperson, the EP card is classified as a commercial card, which when we looked into, we did request statistics from CPS. We have about more than a million of our beneficiaries that are having a card, this green card. That is now classified as a commercial card to get them to come and give us the authority. So we know what the court has just given us, the a year now to get the SASSA readiness, and how are we going to be able to go about the strategy. We requested for 2 years because we wanted to get SASSA ready. We did not want to get into the end-to-end payment application process using a third party. In brackets, it could be any other, including SAPO, to be able just to do the payment come the 1st of April, while SASSA is readying itself in relation to getting the systems and all that. The change, we just had to tweak it, get the a service provider. But then the question could be, then if there's a new service provider that comes in, will it be a SASSA card or will it be still a different card belonging to a new service provider? It will be a SASSA card because our intention is whoever comes in must also whoever it will be our the payment service provider will issue a SASSA branded card of which we'll be able to take over from. Then also what has changed in relation to compressing to 1 year, we have then looked into if we can get a service provider that will do the build, operate, and transfer. Because we thought we'll be able to procure, have time to... Local economic development. Honourable Member, on that one, currently we are using your merchants, your big stores like your Boxers, your Pick and Pay. The intention is to get a second layer of merchants, and this time it will be your shops and spaza shops that are in the local area. But to make sure that we cannot stop these moving malls that are normally at our pay points, but to ensure that the card and spaza shops. But we are also in discussion with social development. The current grant a certain amount of money within the card itself. We will introduce what we call in the card to have an e-wallet that will only propel and push our beneficiaries to buy a certain type of commodities, especially the nutritional commodities. I can just give an example. For a child support grant, we can maybe ring fence a certain amount of money which will only be used when you use a card if you only ECDs and other things. I think I've tried to cover. Then the last one is the timeline for phasing out of the current CPS. Chair and honourable members, when we present the framework, we will be having the timelines, both of the phasing out and the phasing in.
No, there was a hand there, but I'll come back to you. Let's allow the CEO to finish, and then I'll come back to the new hands.
Yes, we'll come with the timelines, but the court is giving us the order, yes, which says that within 12 months. Because I don't know whether when I was out, whether they did explain that there are things that we are saying to ourselves as SASSA that from the word go, enrollment, the new enrollment going forward, and the other enrollments, of course, the, is just transferring of the of the data from the, say, this provider to the other provider. There was another question that Honourable Member Masango asked. I put it as number four. I couldn't catch it. By the time I was listening and it was going through, maybe on the second round, Member Masango may ask that question again. One thing that we all agree with Member Mabilo is that it should not happen that we must be compelled by court and find out. We are under administration, and it becomes difficult. Now, what has just happened that this some people from the normal day-to-day work and now concentrate on the 10 for us to meet the deadline of 10 days to start and external people to monitor us, but it's us that feel that we need to understand the people that we'll monitor. So that on its own, we find ourselves in that situation, Honourable Member Mabilo, because maybe we did not do what we were supposed to do at the time that we were supposed to have done it with. So we totally 100% agree.
Can I acknowledge Mama Abrams and Mama Masogo, Madoka and Mama, but Mama Masango has got that question which is outstanding, and let me allow her first to remind them what question is outstanding. Okay, you are on.
Interface solution procured and configured. And when Ms. Rapatle presented, she said it will be done, but this slide says it has been done. So I wanted to know what is happening about the web interface solution.
We can allow that one to be answered before they forget it again, before I come back to you. Okay.
It's my apologies, because this is a plan. This is what we plan to do. By end of the financial year, it will be procured, and the implementation thereof will happen in the following year. So it's got targets in year one, year two, year three.
Because I'm also encouraged by the fact that despite that, we want to continue with our work. Don't forget that. Mama Abraham?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, mine is just clarity regarding this green card. A lot has been said about the green card, but I think that the SASSA card, when all this regulation is and for whatever reason we can't prevent people from applying for loans, but it shouldn't be via the green card, because the green card allows people to get a loan. And I've spoken to many people in my community They would say yes, but you know, the SASSA money is not enough, and so we want a loan. But if people want to do whatever they want to do, we can't prevent them. Then regarding the grant, aligning it with, you said, the e-wallet and so on, and when people purchase, that's very interesting. The issues of drug related, so people would buy and sell and do what they need to do. So we need to maybe find a different way, a voucher or something. That also not going to help because people start selling. But it was just interesting hearing that the e-wallet would allow you to do that. It would be very interesting to e-wallet the children and say this is...
There has been a lot of noise in the public discourse around the issue of why the department or the SASSA is using the post office in regards to also assisting in this life. What is transpiring, because there has been the other side of saying that the post office does not have a capacity and so on and so forth. Can we be given a feedback to say, are they the one of those service providers that you are engaging, that you can also look at? What about the issue of capacity? Are they now...
postpone your question so that because there's that process as to who is going to be engaged, but we will get it in the next meeting. They can keep it. Thank you so much. Because I know there was a workshop yesterday. So I'm laughing about what you said. Thanks a lot, Chairperson. It's just the follow-up question on the question that was asked by Doctor that you answered. When it comes to the investigations, you spoke about, you know, some people, men come to say that they... and the company, because it can be deducted from the companies where people work, you know, the maintenance. Then when I come to Sister Zadwa on local economic development, I know it's Mama Kapa's questions always, but I'll ask it, Mama Kapa, on behalf. Integrating the court judgment activities that they require to. But next, before we go for debate on Tuesday or on Wednesday, some of these will be included.
quality answers as well, and very informative. Also, we appreciate the calmness that seems to be settling in your relationship, as both as the executive authority as well as the officials. We notice when people are not really, really comfortable, and we believe these APPs together with what has been included as an addendum, so that when we meet next week, we work on our recommendations towards finalizing our report. I do want to put that up front. Honorable Mandilo, we humble ourselves as this portfolio committee in accepting the judgment and actually agreeing as a portfolio committee that the, what we urge, we have costed our country a lot, and we can't be proud with that. However, we're taking all steps. It has been a learning curve. We will always be on our toes to ensure what we are not given, we interrogate. Yeah. And that today I've noticed some honesty in all answers that were given. And honesty, CFO, in being humble and actually not panicking. Because sometimes when you hide something, you have to panic in case we discover that. So I think the way you... members to make this recommendation that we accept, because we didn't work with it. And I also want to appreciate the smooth and organized way our all political parties in our WIPARI, all political parties, when our matter we had put forward was treated, and also the structures of parliament to say you are on track, do also, we have learned how to deal with matters of this nature. So I end there, having appreciated everyone.
I want to propose that we accept the recommendation as presented by SASA before us.
Honorable
Ruth,
would you like to?
And then I'll second it. Of course, I wanted to move it, but now the mover is in front of me. Thank you.
Can I then request that we adjourn?
Thank you.